I have some great quotations from you from your previous articles and interviews, so I won't dwell on the old stuff.
Okay.
You know, you talked a lot about touring with Monroe and how you didn't like to drive the bus and you didn't like to work on the farm and how it was to get hired to work with Monroe. Now it's not black and white anymore. Remember those quotations, I believe?
Oh, yeah, sure. I remember
that. You know, it was so black and white with Mr. Monroe, and then all of a sudden you leave his umbrella, and you're so free to do anything you want. And you lose that, don't you, when you get away from Mr. Monroe?
Well, I just had a different intention. I wanted to express just all kinds of different things. I wanted to be a rock star and have beautiful girls rush the stage. That age of being a musician, there's all kinds of conflicting, or not conflicting, but different motives for everything.
Uh-huh.
The Monroe thing was a very deeply felt, sincere quest for knowledge. It was like going into a monastery.
Wow.
And I had no problem with getting a full devotion. And you know, I was seeing the rock and roll world was becoming alive at that point. Jimi Hendrix and things. People, they were my contemporaries, my musical contemporaries.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that influence. But it's interesting because you mentioned that black and white kind of well-defined musical territory is what I'm back into now.
Really?
This new album, The Grass is Greener, is it's very intentional, everything about it.
Uh-huh.
And it's not done with Monroe's rigid set of standards, but it's done with an equally well-focused set of ideas. I'm a little more broad-minded.
Uh-huh. Is it to take classical music into this... into what you do? Is that
no? It's
I hear classical.
Well, yeah, it is. Well, no. The answer is yes, but it real popular kind of classical music. The theme and variations. The album is all theme and variations. Monroe writes the theme, and I write the variations. Or David Greer creates a variation on a particular tune, and all the musicians were instructed, or that's too strong a word. I requested from all of them, and they willingly agreed enthusiastically to play the melody. So what you get is theme and variations. When David Greer, if he's not playing the melody, he's certainly thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
And he may be playing something entirely different, but it's connected. Being far out in a way that diverges from that kind of concept was not encouraged, and we didn't want to do that.
Hmm.
It's sort of a homage in a way. Theme and variations is the key to what it's all about.
Huh.
Which is exactly the way I work with Monroe. He would teach me the melody very painstakingly on the mandolin. And do you know how he would like double up on notes all the time? Later mandolinists wanted to sort of clean up the mandolin, so they wouldn't double up on the notes. Every pick would be a different note.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, Monroe would double up and create strange rhythms, and the melody would fall out in strange, unpredicted ways. And to me, that was the key to his playing. And so I would learn that on the fiddle very painstakingly and then let myself go. Okay, now I know that. How can I... this is not a mandolin, it's a violin, so what can I do here? It's a violin. I know a lot about violin besides just fiddling. Violin and all the stuff it can do. And in his band, a lot of my ideas were from the world of the violin, applied to his theme.
Hmm.
So that's what I'm doing now.
You're still using his tutelage, aren't you?
In the way I just mentioned, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very sharp focus.
Interesting.
Just a bluegrass kind of 10 commandments or rules about how to play bluegrass. They're there. I'm not going to codify them right now, but they're there. And everybody in this place knows what these rules are.
If Bill Monroe disappears, do we still have... he's going to die. is it going to continue? Is bluegrass, in the true sense of bluegrass, is it going to be able to continue? I'll give you my context before you want to answer.
Yeah,
I'll explain what I meant. When you were playing, and everybody else he's playing, if he doesn't see that that individual is right on the beat, he's going to get right back up on your ear, and he's going to chop, 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 and get you right back on the rhythm that he wants you at. Nobody really does that anymore. Most people anymore, not all of them, but most anymore are just five guys getting together and working whatever their skills are. But you never had that solid force of a one person who not only created the music, but he insisted on it being playing for so many, many years, and he still does. So you have all these people learning the rhythms of Bill Monroe from Bill Monroe, and there isn't anybody out there anymore who's forceful enough to continue his tradition exactly as he projected it. Doyle Lawson, marvelous rhythm, marvelous everything, but he doesn't. Maybe he does. I don't think he does, but he doesn't get up right behind you and.
Well, yeah, no. You're talking about more than just licks or what a guy plays.
Oh yeah.
Bill Monroe is like the Charlie Parker of bluegrass. I mean, there's no you don't. Bebop certainly lived during Charlie Parker and after. But when he was gone, that was the originator was gone. That force was gone.
Uh-huh.
Monroe. Since the 40s on, there's been all kinds of bluegrass bands, not exactly the way Monroe plays it, and they live then, and they'll live on. There's just no... The one... He was the inventor, the originator, just like Charlie Parker. They're almost exactly the same in terms of their relationship to the music they invented.
Hmm.
And then to what happened after. And to the legacy that they were leaving and left. Exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Another one would be a Duke Ellington. We're talking about musical once-in-a-lifetime kind of gigantic figures.
Mm-hmm.
Hank Williams. I mean, some of them didn't get to be very old at all. You know? They just created something so powerful. There's nothing... After I left the Monroe Band, I never, again, played in a band with as good rhythm. Now, I'm going to make an absolute value judgment. I'm going to compare. I'm going to say something's better than something else. I'm not afraid to. But once you play in a band with a relatively youthful Bill Monroe giving you mandolin backbeats, you will never again play in a band with as good a rhythm.
Wow.
That's it. But all this, there's all kinds of other bands out there. Great bands.
Uh-huh.
You know, the classic Flat and Scruggs band. It was a great band. It was just different.
Mm-hmm.
You could say maybe Earl Scruggs is almost or
yeah.
In the grouping I'm talking about as a great...
Uh-huh.
I hesitate a little bit about that for some reason. He wasn't the composer. He wasn't the... Well, anyway, we're getting off.
I'm sorry. I took you off that because I really wanted to talk about your project. Because
well, we are. The Monroe is my project, so we are talking about it.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Yeah, I see what you mean.